Actually, our time here in the States was started in Florida and then went up to New Jersey. And from there, we were apart when Craig and came out here with the missionary meeting you guys had out here. We kind of received the report after they had came and spent some time with you. And then the Urbessex actually offered a lodging place for us as we traveled west from the New Jersey. So we spent some time with them in our first part of our journey, and we'll be heading there tomorrow. So, and I think he's coming up here, isn't he? Is that right? Something like that? So, very good. You know, when I was in Acts, when the disciples went out to on the first missionary journey, the Paul and Silas, or Paul and Barnabas, on their way back in Acts chapter 14, he says in verse 25, "Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went back to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples." And that's how we see our time here in the States. We've been down in Paraguay, Rose and myself, for 16 years. Right before we left, we visited the church here in Wauwatosa. And thanks to you, we've been eating well for 16 years. We picked up your recipe book, and we've been using it. And we have a special breakfast each Saturday morning, and we've eaten those waffles. I don't know who had the waffles pancakes. Thank you. I just want to give you a report, a little bit of what's been happening down in our neck of the woods, down in South America. If you traveled to South America, you wouldn't go straight south from here. You'd have to go to New Jersey or to New York and then go even farther east in about the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, take a sharp right and head south, and you would head into Paraguay. And I just want to give you a report of what God's doing. It's not what Dale and Rose are doing. God does a work around the world, and it's encouraging to hear what he's doing and how he's touching lives with people. And he uses people like us. And it's good to hear good reports about what's happening here. I mean, we've been hearing that the church has been growing here, and that's exciting to us to see that the church is God's in control of putting together a church that he wants to have function, the different gifts in the church, and how it functions. So we just want to give a report of what God's been doing in our part of the woods in Paraguay. Just to give you a little background of Rose and myself, I think I was mentioned here the other day that Rose is from Sheboygan or something like that? Prairie du Chien or Sheboygan. That was false information, sorry. Actually, Rose is originally from New Jersey. Berkeley Heights, New Jersey is another commending assembly that sent us out to sent us to South America as well as Alamosa, Colorado, the assembly out there. We met at the MOP conference in 1997. We dated for or courted for about, I better not tell you all that stuff. There's not too many young people here. God did a marvelous work in our lives. That's another story in itself. We were both planning on going out to the missionary field. We didn't want to go alone, but God didn't provide anybody for us, so we ended up going to the missionary conference thinking we were going out alone, and lo and behold, we met each other, and we left happy campers. And so God put together a team. I was impressed by Priscilla and Aquila and their ministry, how they use their home. A lot of times they're seen in the scriptures together and in their ministry, and that's how we've ministered down there in Paraguay, using our home. Our family, we went down to Paraguay in 1999, and God gave us a family. One of the scriptures that God used in my life was where it said, "Whoever leaves house and home, family, wife and children, for the sake of the gospel, will receive 100-fold." And that's what God's done in our lives. We went down without a family, and God gave us triplets in 1 year. And we've been happy campers since. This is the smiling of the faces of our family. And God's been, this is the current picture. Oh, no, we have one more. There it is. This is the current crew. Ellie is in Emmaus. I think there's some Emmaus. There you go. I've seen you down there. Yeah. And we just were at the Emmaus graduation. Lily just completed 1 year of school down there. We're going to take her back to Paraguay with us. Ellie's staying for one more year at Bible school. We're praying that God would lead her in her next phase of life as well. So that's our little background of where we're at. We have Sarah with us here too. And she's growing like a weed. Everybody mentions that. And she's a joy to be with as well. Just want to give you a little background about where we're at in Paraguay. Some people say, what part of Africa is that? We're not in Africa, we're in South America. It's about the size of California. It has a population of 6.5 million people. It was colonized by the Spaniards and gained their independence in 1811. And they have large Jesuit settlements in the south of the country that kind of impacted the whole country. There's still some of those settlements today. You can see in the northern part of Argentina and parts of Brazil, and the southern part of Paraguay is where the Jesuit ruins. You can still see some Jesuit ruins there today. And they'll have where we're ministering at is a department or a state, like you would have Wisconsin. And all the different towns in there have these saints' names. We live in St. John the Baptist, or San Juan Bautista. Next to us is St. Ignacio, St. Miguel, or Michael. We have all these different towns with saints' names. And then each city or each home or each business will dedicate their business or their home to a certain saint, and they'll light candles to it, they'll pray to it to try to bring a blessing into their home or to their business. So that's steeped in the lives of the people there in Paraguay. We live in the southern part, about 3 hours south of the capital. The capital is Asunción. In our area, we have there's a river running down the middle of Paraguay, and on the west side is mostly deserty area. So most of the population of the 6.5 million will live on the east side of that river, right? It splits the country, where the mountains and more of the rolling hills are. So that's kind of what where the concentration of the population is. And we're in the southern part where there's ranching areas, and there's rice farming, there's sugar cane, and they grow a Paraguayan tea down there, and I'll talk about that in just a little bit. In our town, it's a university kind of satellite community, with a lot of the different universities from the capital have their little satellite campus down there. And also we have the regional jail. These trees that you see there are called lapacho trees. They're flowering out. They usually flower out about September. We're in the opposite seasons right now. Right now we're up here, we're in summer. We're down there, they're in winter. The climate down there in Paraguay is about the same as you would find in Miami. We're the same distance north of the equator we're the same distance south of the equator as Miami is north of the equator. So you have that type of a climate. So you don't have the real cold freezing. Although we did have frost just a little bit ago, this last month, they had frost down there, which is good because there's a lot of mosquito-borne diseases. And if we can get frost, we can kill some of those mosquitoes off. So it's a good thing. Zika is down there, but it's not there's actually a worse disease from a mosquito down there. It's called dengue. Rose and I, that was our introduction to Paraguay when we first went down there. Our first months in there, we caught the dengue disease. And we were kind of put up for a week. It's just kind of puts you up with high fever, kind of like malaria. But the second time you can get it, if you get another strain of it and you get it a second time, it can cause internal hemorrhaging. And that could be dangerous, and even people have died from that. So if you want to pray for health, you can pray for that we don't catch that dengue. In the country, there's a lot of, there's agricultural. There's agriculture. They have some modernization. We have some people that, a lot of the things that we see in the eastern part of the country, you see a lot of tractors. Some people come in, they buy up big parcels of land from Brazil, and they come in there and they farm. They bring soybean. They're harvesting soybean over there. But you still see not only the big tractors, but you always see the other opposite, and you see people still planting with a hoe or even with the ox and the plow behind it. So you have the two extremes of agriculture there. And then the different living situations. You have people living in huts with dirt floors and wooden sides and very primitive. And then you have other people that have the swimming pool as well. So you have kind of the different extremes of even living conditions. That's our home in San Juan Bautista. The street out in front of it used to be cobblestone when we first moved there. Now it's paved. But if you come down to visit us, that's where you'll be staying, and we'll receive you with open arms. Different modes of transportation. I don't know how many people you can put on a motorcycle, but they can stack them up there. These have about five on there. You can still put two more. They put a baby on each hip of the mom sometimes going down the road. And also you have the gut truck on the bottom right. He just went to the slaughterhouse in the morning, and the things they didn't take to the market, they kind of load all the innards into the truck and into that little thing, and they go around the neighborhood selling the innards. We pass that. You have some of the dogs kind of going behind that too. Also on the bottom left is a lot. Some of the people still cook with over wooden or over wood burning stoves, and so they'll have some. That's their leña wood, firewood. Yeah. What are we doing down there? Well, God used this, God to put in my heart to go down there and be a part of a church plant and just go. When we first arrived in Asuncion, we prayed about where God would have us work in the whole country. And as we got out the map and talked with the different missionaries, we found out that in the southern part of the country, most of the missionaries were working in the center and northern part of the country, and there was a vacancy down there in the southern part. So we prayed where we would go, and God led us down to San Juan Bautista. And what do you do when you go to a place and start a church? Well, you go around, you start talking to people. And I'll tell you the different things. These are the different methods that we've used, and God can use other methods as well, but these are the things that he's used down there. Just want to talk to you about them. One is you'll learn how to drink tetede. And this is a little, this is how you drink tea down there. Or up here in the States, when you invite it over to a home, sometimes you'll invite someone for tea and coffee or maybe a cold pop. Down there, you would have this thing. This is a loose tea that they grow down there. And they harvest it and chop it up. And then they pour this loose tea in here, in this little guampa. This thing is called a guampa. It can be wood, it can be metal. Or this is a horn from one of the oxes. They hollowed it out, or they have it hollowed out, and they plug it up. And they pour the tea in here, and this is the straw. Straw has a little strainer at the bottom of it. And regular metal straw, and they put that down in there, and they'll have cold or hot water, and they'll pour that into the squampa, and they'll drink it. And you only have one of these per group that you're with, so everybody's sharing from this little. We'll have one person serving the water, and he'll drink it, and he'll pass it to the next one. They'll drink it, and they'll pass it, and he'll fill it up and pass it to the next one. And that's how you're. That's what's happening here in this. The photo there, I'm sitting and talking and drinking tetede or mate. Mate is the same thing. It just has hot water instead of cold water. That's the only thing that's really different. But you can see that they're offering you tetede to come down and drink with them. And these are the different ingredients. You have the water, the ice, the different fresh herbs, and the mate, the tea, the guampa, the bombilla, and just bring over a friend. So you won't really be invited into the home. You'll sit most of the time, very seldom you will be invited into the home. You'll be sitting outside drinking this. You'll just find a shade tree outside, a big mango tree. If they have a little trellis with grapes, you'll be under that. Very seldom you'll be sitting inside. Also, we do Bible studies. We ask people, they usually ask me, what are you doing here? That was the first question. Then, what are you doing here? And just helping people to understand the Bible and having a relationship with God. If you're interested in that, I'd like to study the Bible with you. And we would use the MAS Bible correspondence courses. These are a couple of them that we've used, what the Bible teaches, and the Bible says this, I think, I don't know what it's, the Bible what? Tells me so? Bible tells me so. These were written by William MacDonald. And then also from Everyday Publications in Canada, we use some of their material as well for the people to understand the gospel, the simple gospel message. So we've been involved in Bible studies and women's Bible study. This picture actually shows a lot of the different people. These are a lot of the women here. The one that's sitting in the front is from Brazil, and the second one in as well. And then there's a girl from Argentina. At the end of the table is a gal from Uruguay. And the rest of the ladies there from Paraguay. But international meeting down there. God has used in our work down there. I like sports and I like playing. And through that, it's neat how God prepares each of us for the ministry he has for us. I mean, we can't be someone else. But God has put in my genes the desire to play sports and stuff like that. So anyway, God has used that down there to play. We started out playing tennis, met a lot of these guys on the tennis court, striking up conversations with these guys on the sidelines. And from that, we're able to talk to them about the Lord, and a lot of them come to know the Lord through that, through sports, through right here, soccer, tennis, or soccer, and what was the other one? Volleyball, and tennis, basketball. And that actually is still going on right now. Some of the young guys are still playing those sports. They're trying to reach their friends from just on the playing fields, which is a very neat opportunity to do that. So a lot of us, you know, we have different likes and dislikes. Maybe people like going fishing or running or biking. I mean, there's a lot of friends you can make through that and just share the gospel. We're actually doing something that's not really one-on-one, coming here, knocking on your door and just talking to you about the Lord. Sometimes can put up a wall right away. So to break down those walls, sports has been a good thing for us down there. Also, that New Jersey, or the church out there, sent down a team at the end of this last year between Christmas and New Year's. And one of the guys there loved Ultimate Frisbee. I've never played Ultimate Frisbee before, but he said, I wanted to come down there with a bunch of Frisbees. And we thought, I don't know if that'll go over. And he said he wanted to bring the real high-class ones. And he said, I don't know if you want to spend that much. But he got a big deal on them. They were rejects. And we actually, one of the guys in their meeting, made up a little decal that had the gospel on it. And that's what you see right there. And actually, we brought one more. We had one left over. We brought it up here. It's on the back table. We set up a little table in the back that you can see some other things from the Paraguay. We got some Paraguayan money and things back there. But these guys came down there, and we started throwing that Frisbee around, and Paraguay doesn't know anything about a Frisbee. Everybody in America knows what a Frisbee is, but no one down there did. So throwing that Frisbee about 50 yards really caught some attention from people in the center plaza. So we had people coming over and wondering what was going on, and we had gave us opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. So the different means that God uses to get the word out. Also, we try to get involved with trying to hit every area of the society there. The young kids are very important as well. And we right now are having a little children's meeting every Saturday in the afternoon. And we get the kids there. We play for a half an hour, and then we have some singing and stuff, and then we have a little Bible study time. And so that's what they're doing here in these. And they're earning little merits of, memorizing scriptures or bringing a friend. They earn kind of points, and then they're able to cash in at a prize table once a month and for their efforts. So that's worked out pretty good. Also, the Samaritan's Purse, probably your church here has packed up some boxes, or maybe some individuals have packed up boxes here. We get some of those boxes. I don't know. Really, we haven't received anything from right here in the States. We're from Wisconsin, but we receive some from Virginia and from Canada. But these boxes that are prepared here get sent down to different parts of the world, and we're on one of the receiving ends. And these are some of the happy kids that have received the just a gift, these gifts that they've received from people that have put these little boxes together. And then also with this, there's a little Bible study program that they go through. It goes for about 3 months. It's about 12 lessons. And it's a very good way of just presenting the gospel. Very well done. Right now, they're not doing it. They want to reach other new kids, and while we're up here, we don't have the manpower down there right now to start something new. But when we go down there, we're going to try to see if we can do that again. Also, This is a sketchboard. Actually, I used to be on the, I used to be with Operation Mobilization for 4 years on the Christian missionary ship, the Logos. And on there, I did various different, I had different, was involved in different ministries on the ship. And one of the things was going out in the open air using sketchboard paintings. You probably heard of the Ezekiel Project, I think it is, that Chris Schroeder is involved in. And doing this type of stuff in the streets or even with the kids here. So that's what I'm doing there is painting and sharing the gospel there. These are the little, these are the kids that we have. When we came up here, about 40 of them showed up. We were just, we started about a week right before we left to come up here. We restarted it. We kind of take a break during the winter months and started up here. Or actually during the summer months and then started up here. And that's the van that we have that God's given us. Actually down there, a lot of our vehicles come from Japan. And Japan drives on the other side of the road. So one of the things that we do, we have to change over the steering column to drive on the other side. And so that's a interesting thing. So, but that's what we haul some of the kids home with. How many do you think we can pack in there? Kind of like that motorcycle. Well, we can get 27. Yeah, we can pack them in there. We can still get three more. I'm shooting for 30 when I get back there. Yeah, these we don't drive them up on the highway like that. You got moms are going, "What are you doing with all those kids in there?" We just drive them across town, and they enjoy it. They like getting in there, and I try to make sure that they don't ruin the upholstery and all that kind of stuff. But that's what God's been able to do. This is the town square. It's only a block away from our home. So if there's a major event that's happening in the town, it happens in the square. And they can pack that square, 2,000, 3,000 people in there. And so we go over there sometimes with literature, hand out literature. Also, we can they have a they celebrate their patron saint of the town day. And so we go over there and hand out literature and talk about the Lord in those times as well. And then once a year, we try, at least we get in there once a year with a Christian film. This is usually the Jesus film on Easter time. And so we get in there and share the gospel through films. Not only through the, not only at the plaza, but we can, in our, the backyard of the chapel building, also in the different neighborhoods. We take it out to the different neighborhoods as well and show Christian film. So one of the things, Paraguayans aren't real avid readers. So film work is actually very good to reach some of the people. A lot of them aren't won't just sit down and read a book or so. But listening to a film and then expounding upon the lessons that you can learn from the film is a very good means in getting the gospel, even Christian growth films out as well. One of the other areas that God has really opened up a door for us is in the public schools. We were able to go into the public schools and share about different what do you call those topics? Different topics that pertain to the kids at this time. Sexuality, just forming good relationships with the opposite sex, and friendships. Also, just waiting until marriage to be involved physically. Also, homosexuality, abortion, bullying. Violence in the schools, trafficking with kids, trafficking. All those different topics, we're able to go into these different schools, and we have a an open door there to talk freely about not only these topics, but then what is the solution to that. And that's a relationship with God and just getting away from sin. And so we're able to do that in these different schools. And just right before we came up here, one of the teachers called us up and said, could you come in and share? Usually during the Easter time, they have us go into the different schools and share about the meaning of Easter. But this time they said, you have 2 hours to do it. So we had a 2-hour slot to share about the meaning of Easter. Have you guys had that? Have you had that opportunity? That's with a neat opportunity that we've had down there. We really appreciate it. And just like the States, you know, the States have been, it's been open in the past, but the door is shutting and closing. And that, for right now, in Paraguay, the door's open, wide open, and we're trying to get in there and prepare some of these kids, give them a different outlook of what they're receiving from the public school system there, and just being able to help them to see that there's a different way of thinking about these different topics and issues. And some of the kids, the first time they've ever heard some of these things, I mean, waiting till marriage is not even in their vocabulary. It's not even in their thinking. They think it's an impossible concept to even think about something like that. So, I mean, to be able to say that that's a possibility and that's what would be honoring to God is very eye-opening. And then we talk about AIDS and stuff and the different problems that you'd have. So in doing that, we take in some magazines that one of the ministries up there in Asuncion in the capital have kind of somehow have gotten connected with Focus on the Family, and they've got some of their material, prepared these different magazines, and then they've made it pertinent to Paraguay, and so put a lot of statistics and different things that are just pertain to Paraguay in that magazine. And we distribute this magazine to all these different kids. And with that, they'll receive a gospel. If we don't think the gospel is presented too well in this magazine, we'll put it in our own track as well. And also, as well, just encourage the kids to call us if they have some questions too. This is to breaking up a soil in a new area. This is part of a work of just breaking down the concept. Like a lot of people in Paraguay, when you say, are you an evangelical? To them, an evangelical is just like a bad name. They're bad people. They don't believe in Mary or something like that. And they don't believe in the saints. So they've categorized people. And so we don't even use the name evangelical. So we use, like even in the church name, instead of putting, usually the brethren churches put the evangelical church of a certain, like St. John the Baptist. But instead of doing that and causing a block or a barrier, we just put Bible church John the Baptist, St. John the Baptist. And we just chose Bible churches that we focus on the Bible, and it's a church because it's a gathering of God's people. So that's how we've kind of presented the work there. We invite the people or the kids to come and talk to us as well. But it's breaking down these different barriers, and so that's part of the work in the schools. So you can see we have some example, or we have some of the magazines that are in the back table. You can take a look at them and see some of the material and good quality stuff. The teachers love to get it, as well as they prepare a way of a curriculum or a way of using the book to continue with a little project for the kids after our little talk. So the teachers have used that as a way of teaching their kids as well. So great open door. And we would like you to continue to pray for that. And God would not only use that in the lives of these kids, but then fruit from that, people would really come to know the Lord as a result of the time there. We've had other people, just from us being in there, it's been a great thing. They've seen us in a different light down there. Also, other ways of getting the word out is through door-to-door evangelism, using a little poster that has the John 3:16 on there, some Christian tracts as well. Once a month at least, we try to go outside our box. I mean, most of the Christian work, or the growth of a church, maybe you've experienced right here, is it's going to be friends and acquaintances that you already have. I mean, people that are believers or a new believer they'll start reaching their friends and people that are just around them. But instead of just getting bogged down with that, we've once a month we try to get out of that box and try to do something that can reach someone else that we wouldn't normally maybe talk to. Also, we're able to use English class in any foreign any foreign country. English is, a lot of people want to use that or learn it. So Rose is a very adequate teacher, a very good teacher, and she's been able to have some English classes, not only for the church members there, but also we extended it, opened it up to the community, and some of the kids have come in and been involved in that as well. And this is the last little graduation class. They love certificates. They love any type of title. Just prepare a little certificate and say, hey, you completed 3 hours, and they think they just won the lottery or something. But it's good. It's something that means something to them. And it is. I mean, they're putting in effort, and hopefully God will use that. Now, the two girls that are in the front, we've had contact with them when they were young kids. The littlest one in the black there in the front, we were at her first birthday when we got into town. Her mom actually was studying the Bible with us. And then since then, she's moved out. Her daughter's become more interested. Her name is Angela. Angela. Yeah. So, might want to pray for her salvation. Also, the radio. There's lots of opportunities for different ministries, and God's opened up even speaking on the radio. We only have a 2-day time, Monday and Tuesday. Rose takes one day. I take another. Another Baptist church takes the rest of the week. But, you know, it's kind of hard to do a radio ministry. You don't know who you're not talking face to face. But we do get feedback from the community when we're out and about, and people say, oh, I heard you on the radio yesterday or so. So it's encouraging. Different ways of getting that the Jesuit stronghold there and breaking down those hardened hearts, and people that are just getting that word out just helps that. And so the Lord adds to the church. These people are getting saved. Every one of these people has a story. And I love hearing testimonies, because it just shows how what God does to orchestrate things, to bring people together so that people come into the contact of the gospel. He's even used accidents. We had an accident one time, and another man was in the same auto repair place trying to get an estimate for the job. And through that, able to start up a Bible study with this guy, and he came to know the Lord. He's part of the meeting down there. We just had an accident with our car down there while I'm up here. And hopefully that will end up in someone coming to know the Lord. We'll see. We're still in the process of getting estimates and all that kind of stuff. So, how can a car be in an accident when the owner's up here? I don't know. Anyway, we got that. We're working on that. But God's going to bring about a blessing in that too. The church, like in Priscilla and Aquila, started in their home. They used their home for a ministry. That's how the church started. When it grew too big, we ended up buying an old discotheque area, a nightclub. It was really looked disastrous inside. It had been abandoned for a little while, and some guy had used it in a metal welding job that was there for a little while. The water was cut out because it was cut off while he was living there, so you can imagine what the bathrooms were like. And so we cleaned it up and started worshiping inside. Instead of black, like it's on the right, turned it into white, and God's been able to bless it. This is the courtyard where the bar was, and now we serve food from there. God is really blessed in that, with that building there. And the backyard is used for kids' ministries, very good area. And just the importance, again, You're going to have your vacation Bible school this coming week, right? Is that when it's going to start? In a couple weeks? In a couple weeks, you're going to have the vacation Bible school. The importance of reaching kids at this age, very important. No one knows when their last day on earth is going to be. This little guy in the yellow and black, he died right before he came up here. He was in a drowning accident in a the big town south of us, and he made a profession of faith during his time with us there. But you don't know whether or not they're true or not. Sometimes a kid will make false professions once in a while, but some of them are true. Even at a young age, I've talked to a lot of people that have made decisions when they were 5, 6 years old and that were really true. So at this vacation Bible school, be praying for these young people that are coming in. And you don't know when their last day is going to be here. We came down here and had a meal with some friends last night. And on the road, I don't know, over by exit SS or so, there was that accident and someone lost their life there. So the things happen. But the gospel needs to go out, and God can reach people. It doesn't matter what age they are, young or old. The backyard we're able to use for baptisms. I don't know where your baptism was, probably under here. Is it there? No? Out in the where is that? It's out in the a little lake. Maybe you do it in the lake. What is it? Swimming pool? Yeah, swimming pool. We used to do it there too. When I was out in Colorado. But we have this little swimming pool. We patch up the holes with little duct tape and stuff like that, keep the water in there. And have different baptisms. We used to baptize it in a little place outside of town until we found out what was actually being dumped into that water. And then we said, "Woo, we don't want to do that anymore." So now we're doing it here. This is the meeting place. Sometimes we get that place packed out. This is a Sunday morning meeting. We haven't actually had another church visiting us there that time. But when we get too packed, we can move outside in the courtyard area and set up out there, and we can pack them in out there too. So when we go back, we're going to try to look for some ways of amplifying the inner area there so we can house people when it gets a little bit cold, house more people in the it gets a little colder. And this is Roberto. He's one of these guys, came to know the Lord. He was actually, some of the priests wanted him to be a priest. It's interesting. He came from a Catholic background, and you can see the struggle when he came to know the Lord. You could really see him struggling with. He was coming into understanding truth, and he was struggling with his upbringing. But when he made a decision for the Lord, God really changed his life. He's been a real blessing to the work down there. And God has chosen to move him from San Juan Bautista to another town, Pilar. It's about 2 hours away. And it's on the river. And sometimes the river has flooding down there, and they've had problems with the mosquito population and stuff. There's a little church down there that was started in the 1940s from some people from Scotland. This is a church building. It was finished like 57 years ago, but for the last 30 years, they've been struggling. They were actually the spearhead of the work in that town. And a lot of the different churches that are kind of are out from that, actually these were the people that really broke this fallow ground in that area. But since then, they've had some problems in the church, and it ended up only these three people on the right were the only ones left for quite a number of years, like almost 30 years. And they've been praying for a worker to go down there for all that time. And then Roberto, when he heard that story, he said, "You know what? I'm 30 years old." And so he just said, "You know, I think I'm the answer to that prayer." So he moved down there. And he's starting up with seeing if he can help out with the church down there. So we're going to be trying to go out there and try to help him a little bit. We'll see. We're not really totally established as a church. I'm still just the one elder down there. We are raising, actually Roberto would have been the next one to come up in that area, in that capacity, but God's chosen to move him down there for right now. So you might want to pray for leadership in the church. That God, actually during this time up here, we have about six guys that are sharing the teaching and preaching responsibilities in the church, which is a great, great opportunity for them, and they're realizing that they can do the work. And so we're hearing a lot of neat testimonies from what we're hearing. The church is more unified. They're helping one another. They're receiving encouraging messages from these men, which is a great encouragement to us, because when we go back there, we've been trying to say, you need to start. A lot of them are just scared to take on responsibility, but now through this, God's really stimulating that. So hopefully we'll go back to a different, more mature church when we go back. I don't know if anybody receives our prayer letter here. If you don't, it's time to do it. No. This is our little prayer card. If you'd like to receive a personally a prayer card or prayer information every month or so, there's a email address in the center of here. You can write to us and we'll put you on a prayer letter. This man has been being prayed for by a lot of people up here in the States for about 2 years. He's had a lot of problems with the kidneys. He's had one already removed. We just received word today because he had different operations. It's been going on, like I said, 2 years. They had to do some final tests from the last surgery to see if everything's functioning right. And just today, this morning, we just heard that it sounds like he's got a good bill of health. We'll follow up on that to see if that's true. Now, that's just a great time of rejoicing for us. It's really been a long haul for him and his family. But hopefully that'll be a solution, permanent solution. So pray along with us for that as well. Also, not only the spiritual aspect of the ministry, there's also physical problems, just like with the surgery. That's Mario, and this is Julio. He had a motorcycle accident, flew off his motorcycle, hit a cement slab with his face, and broke up a lot of bones there. The story about him going up to the Capitol is just a story. You'd think, a horror story. But he survived it, and we had to put screw-up plates in his head to keep the bones in place and stuff. But he's recovered from that. He's got some teeth work that probably needs to be worked on when we get back there. Hopefully we'll help him with it, some of that too. The church, we went down there 16 years ago, started the church. Took a little bit. The first year or 8 months was up learning the language. Then we went down to the San Juan Bautista a year later. We were able to start breaking bread, and now we just celebrated 14 years in the church down there. And we are the light of the world, and God wants us to shine where He's planted us, whether it be here in the States or Paraguay or another area of the country that God wants, or the world that God's going to lead you into. But He wants us to shine for Him and allow the light of Christ shine through us, earthen vessels, that they would be attracted to Him, and that God would just get all the glory for the church that He's building. And so that's what God's doing in our neck of the woods. If there's some other questions or so that maybe I didn't touch on or so, if you would like to ask some questions, I could field some questions now too about the work there in Paraguay. Yes, ma'am. It's interesting. Paraguay is a bilingual country. It's Spanish. It's spoken, or Spanish is spoken, but it's their second language. Their native language is Guarani, and it's one of the only country in South America that's a bilingual country. I don't know if there's another country. Yeah, well, no other country in South America is there. So it's a bilingual country. So in the earlier, some there was a time period where they said they didn't want any of the kids to learn Guarani. So there is a section of the population that they haven't learned it in the schools. But now they reestablished that. So it's a legally two-language country. So most of the kids will speak Guarani, especially in the campo where we're at on the countryside. They'll be speaking Guarani in their towns, and when they go into to study in the schools, they'll be speaking Spanish. So our ministry is mostly in Spanish. If we go outside our town, we can run into some people that are kind of struggle with Spanish, and they just speak the Guarani, and it's kind of we're all speaking on our second language. Everybody's so they kind of have patience with me stumbling over some words, and I have patience with them as well. But sometimes you can have miscommunication and things like that, and that's happened quite a bit too. So, bilingual. Another question? In the beginning, we didn't receive too much opposition because we were focusing, and we still do, just focusing on what does the Bible say. And so we're just teaching what the Bible says, what the Bible says, what the Bible says. But some of their young youth leaders in their youth group started coming into contact with us, and they became Christians and started coming out. And then it was whoa, then we were bad people now. And also then they try to say that we don't believe in Mary, and so they're trying to put up barriers to all their the people that are still in the church there. They say don't go with them. They don't believe in Mary. They don't believe in the saints. And they have a lot of different superstitions, a lot of different practices that they do down there. But the church now, most of the opposition will be taught from their pulpit as well. They would just say that they're, don't associate with us, and then that filters through the whole community. So some of the hardest things that we struggle with is just someone that would like to have the freedom to come and just find out what's happening in the meeting. They, because of the pressure of the church and the society itself and family members of saying not to break with our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers were all Catholics, and don't change your religion. And so that's very strong. And a lot of the guys that even came to know the Lord and were baptized, they said, I'm going to get kicked out of my house. And it didn't happen. God really overruled in those areas. And even some of those families, other family members have come to know the Lord because of their stance there. But that would be the pressure that we see is the society, the family members just saying don't get near them. And it's hard for people to come in on their own. So that's why the school, the work in the school is a great help in that. There was one time where we had, the teacher said, well, we can't put these two groups together because we don't have a classroom big enough. I said, hey, we got a church building about two or three blocks away. We can go over there. I said, okay. And so all those kids came over. And I mean, that was just like, wow. And they didn't hesitate to come in. I mean, all of them were coming in, going, what's it look like in here now, but it's great. Those are good opportunities to start breaking down those walls. So, yep.
If the Catholic Church is teaching pretty straight, like, Roman Catholicism, or is it mixed with, like,
Yeah, it's straight Roman Catholicism, and then they have... the up here, I don't think you have a lot of the emphasis on the saints. Well, you do up here. I would grow up in a Catholic church too. A lot of native superstition stuff that goes into there. I mean, they have. They have witch doctors and stuff like that that they do. I mean, that's not tied with the Catholic Church though, but. They have a lot of different beliefs. You have to pray. They have when a person dies, they pray for 9 days for them to help to get them into heaven. They pray in the rosary, things like that. The Guarani The Guarani Indians had a lot of superstitions. They have even mythical legends of different characters, mythical characters. And that's kind of woven into the whole society as well. So a lot of superstitious stuff, and you can't eat. Yeah, a lot of them eating different foods. Watermelon and grapes, you can't eat those together or you die. They couldn't do that up here. And some people even set out like a whiskey bottle in the backyard so this mythical guy wouldn't come and, you know, mess with them. And they'll go out in the morning and they'll say, hey, look at half of the bottle's gone, or the bottle's gone. You say, yeah, the town drunk, yeah, took it, you know. But, you know, they'll have that kind of different superstitions like that as well. In the capital, in the eastern town, there is some Arabic influences, and Muslims are there, but it's not a strong presence. In the eastern part, there's some strong Arabic influence, but we're not near that. That's about 6 hours away from us. In our area, there's nothing. There's nothing. In just, just in the capital, and there's not even a mosque. Yeah, there's a mosque in Cidade Leste. Yeah, in the eastern town, where it's tied up with Brazil. There's even a mosque over there. But that'd be about it. Another question? Very good. So I'd like you to, if you'd like to have our prayer letter, or just pray for us, you can take one of these that's on the back table. And I'd just like to end with a word of prayer this section, and I don't know what's happening right after this, but let's see. I'd like to have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for allowing us, as mere men and women that are saved by grace, Lord, to be a part of your work. We thank you, even as Moses, he was not expecting to be called to be a part of your work of freeing your people. And Lord, you've used us, and we thank you that you've been able to use people to share a message that's life-changing. And we want to thank you, Lord, for a great message that we have. We have a great Savior. We have a great need for that message to be preached, not only here in the United States, but in other places abroad. Men and women don't know you, and they're going into a lost eternity. Lord, we thank you that you've allowed us to be a part of taking that message of hope and message of life to people around us. We just want to pray for the continued work that you're doing there in Paraguay, that you would raise up leaders, men and women, to take on this to the next generation, and even this generation. Lord, that you would raise up men and women that would fight for the truth of the gospel and stay true to it, keep them free from the different lies that Satan would want to have creep into the church and destroy it. Pray that you would help the church to stand firm in fighting against that and sharing out a pure gospel that would change lives for eternity. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing here in Wauwatosa as well, just with the men and women that are coming to faith in you. Thank you for the opportunity that they have with young people as the Vacation Bible School that's going to be happening pretty soon. Lord, that you would use this to reach these little kids and even their families with the gospel message, that you would use this and help us to have eyes that would see as you would see, Lord, that you would help us to lift up our eyes and see the fields that are white under harvest, and that you would help us to be involved in the reaping. Pray that you would guide your workers to do just that. Some would plant, some would water, and some would reap, and you would give all the increase and all the glory. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time together as well, to just reflect on what you're doing around us. We thank you that your work continues on, and we thank you that, once again, that we can be involved in it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome.